Well, welcome, Jacob's Well. It's great to see you all here. We're really good at transitions, you know. Maybe you have a slide for that during the welcome next week.
Here's great.
So I don't know who voted for like spring coming in March and even February was worth not having winter this year. All right, yeah, I know. I'm a huge winter fan, but this is definitely the upside of global warming. I just hope we get some moisture. I don't know, yeah, but that wasn't, take that more casually, okay? Didn't mean that as a, okay, we're going to start all over. I'm going to go back there and come back out. Now, so we're diving into this idea about the good life here these weeks at Jacob's Well, and it really is important. We're all looking for the good life. Chris and I got a new car about 2 weeks ago, yeah. It is worth clapping. You have no idea how extraordinary that is. So the first new car we bought was in 1981. The last new car we bought was in 1981. And my other new car is a 94, and which I also got when it was old. And so that's always all I've done. So we got a new car, and it has new car smell. It does all these things that new cars do and stuff like that. It's just really, really fun. And we all fight over who gets to drive it, and it's me. And and you know, and it's just really special, and nothing has happened to it. You know, we're not even really any dirt anywhere on it yet. But it's not going to stay that way. I know. I mean, I'm looking at all these other cars around me that don't look that special, and I think that's mine in 6 months. You know, and after that, it goes from not quite so new to, you know, just another car to not very long and then another old car. You know, and so yeah, I'd love to think that this car was the good life for me, but it just isn't at all. Even though we try to find the good life like that all the time. As a pastor, I've spent a lot of time in hospitals and even, you know, with people as they were dying. And, you know, and those people are really focused on the good life, which is interesting at end of life. And they want to realize, they want to have that good life around them at that time. And what they're talking about, I mean, I haven't ever seen anybody in a hospital room or a hospice room that said, could you please bring me my bank account statements and just put them all around me, you know? Or could you go to my house and just get all some of that stuff and just pile it around the bed? You know, they could care less about any of that. Some people want to be at home, but it's not because of the place. It's because of the relationships that are present. So that's what people want. They want the people that are important to them, around them. The good life is so dependent on our relationships. You really can't have it without relationships that are working. It is so basic to how we find it and what it's all going to be about, and something we got to work on. In preparing for this message, actually several months going on, I knew I'd be doing this, and I got a very clear message from God about what I should talk about. Now, those of you who know me, this isn't like something that happens all the time, but. So I got this real clear message from God, and God said, Greg, you suck at relationships. Now, some of you are offended I used that word, but I'm pretty sure that's what God said, all right? and I said, well, hold it, just wait. You know, I'm not that bad of a guy. I mean, I've got some friends, sort of. I managed to get married. And, you know, I've got kids, and we get along okay. You know, people at the office don't hate me. You know, I'm not that bad. But just even as I said that, my mind, and even as I think about it now, my mind is just filled with all the places where relationships like are challenged every day. The tensions at home, the dynamics at work, the lost time with my own siblings that we haven't kept up and kept relationships going. Just the constant battle, the erosion of them. And I realize I am lousy at relationships. I constantly am trying to fix them up. In fact, the reason I think that I have some decent relationships now has nothing to do with the fact that I'm good at that at all. I'm not good at them. The reason that I have relationships and they're still going on and there's still strength in my life is because I am constantly washed in forgiveness. It is the context that I live in. And I can't take a lot of credit for it. I am given second chances over and over and over by people that are around me, by you guys. And I extend it sometimes too to you guys. And it's not because I'm such a good person and I want to do it, but somehow I have been washed in this
grace to sometimes let things go and to accept a person and to stay there even though things aren't worked out. And that I realize that there's something that we're leading towards and walking towards. It's bigger than where we are right now and where we're stuck right now. I think that's what we all are in. And I know that this world that of forgiveness, that I am thankful, if I'm grateful to be able to live in with people like you and other people around the world, is something that our world needs more of, something that each one of us needs a lot more of. And we need to start to learn how to look at the good life in ways that realizes how it's rooted in this stuff that God has going on. You see, the reason that stuff happens is I really, really believe that God has created a world that is so much bigger than the way we do it, the way we know it, the way we see it. We look at the good life and we just try to have it all happen. We try to make it. But God has created the world with some patterns that are so deeply woven within it that we can't really make use of that world. We can't really cash in on it. We can't really experience a good life that's really there, that's really substantial, until we start checking in with that. And one of the basic structures of this universe, one of the basic structures of our relationships, just like this building has got basic structure of these metal I-beams, these iron steel girders in it, one of the basic structures of our world is forgiveness. God created the world and strengthens it with forgiveness. It's huge. Forgiveness is how this world works. Or let me say it the opposite way. Without forgiveness, this world just doesn't work. Now, first thing, and if you flip over your Sunday paper, you're going to find an outline there. And if you want to follow that along, you're welcome to and fill it in. If you don't want to, that's okay too. But the first thing I want to remind us all about is that forgiveness is. I've got some forgiveness is's and I've got some forgiveness is nots to share with you today. And the first thing that I have to say about forgiveness is that forgiveness is personal. Forgiveness is very, very personal. We cannot talk about this in theory. You need to be thinking about your life and what it means. I would imagine already you have some ideas about people that you need to ask forgiveness of, and some people that probably need to ask forgiveness of you. And you would like to have those resolved. You know, you'll see on that icon, it's up on the top of yours, but that we're using for you know, for this section, this week and next week of the Good Life series. Who does that person represent? If you're really brave, you can write their name in the little square on the top of your Sunday paper, but you don't have to do that. But forgiveness is very, very personal. It's how we operate. In fact, turn to someone. It's probably better if someone you don't know. So maybe you got to turn around with that row behind you, or what? You know, not the person you came with, but turn to the person around you, shake their hand, and say, "You look like you could use some forgiving." Go ahead, go do it. We need this. Oh, here you go. You look like you could use some forgiving. Thank you. I need it. I do. Oh, it's good to laugh about things that are so true. You know, one of the most common things that I hear after services or during the week from people at Jacob's Well is, you know, it's like that service was just for me. It was speaking directly to me. I hear that over and over and over again from people. The reason isn't that we're so smart or whatever, or that we were thinking about you individually all week. Well, in your case, yeah, we were. But you too. No, it's just that God is talking about things that really matter in our lives. It's the stuff that we all deal with all the time. So let that person who just turned around and talked to you and said, "You look like you could use a little forgiving," that was God talking to you. That was this service being all about you, all right? And it's okay that you need it. We all need it. In fact, the world needs a lot more of it, and we're going to talk a little bit about how we can have that be about what our life is about. So let it be personal. And let it be freeing. Let this be something where you begin to see this much, much bigger world that God has for you than the world that we have made for ourselves, all right? Because that's what forgiveness is. We got to get rid of some of our little petty and superficial ways of thinking about what forgiveness is and how it works in our lives and start seeing it from God's perspective. So we have this verse that we've been using every week through this series, and I really want to spend some time with it again today. So it's going to come up on the screen. It's on your Sunday paper. But read this with me, because this is God's picture of what God is trying to do to our heads, to our lives, to our hearts, so we can start seeing the world the way God has it. Read this with me. May you be able to comprehend Christ's incomprehensible love in all its breadth and length, its height and depth, and so be filled with all of God's fullness. We'll never get there. We can't comprehend what God comprehends. We can't hold everything God is able to hold. But God says, I want to give you some glimpses of it, enough that you can follow along, enough that you can be filled with what I can pour into you. So let me spend a little bit of time, first of all, with some myths about forgiveness, all right? These are things that are not true. These are things that we typically think are true and they get us all mixed up with. I don't know how many conversations I've had with people on forgiveness, and I've learned so much from hearing other people talk about it, and hopefully some of these maybe, you know, make sense to you. First of all, this first one is forgiveness. This is a myth, all right? This is not true. Forgiveness means forgetting what happened. No. You can't forget what's happened. I mean, we all know that. We say, you know, hear that all the time, forgive and forget, right? No, you can't forget. It's nice to think we should do that, and, you know, I understand the idea behind it, but they are separate. In fact, I think you probably shouldn't forget. Remembering the pain of forgiveness, as well of the injury that required forgiveness, is sometimes what it takes to motivate us to live a little bit differently in the future. I mean, there's a healthy purpose for that. Forgiveness doesn't erase things, right? But forgiveness heals them. When you get a bad cut and it heals so that you're whole and okay, you probably still have a scar. And when you see that scar, you remember. Yeah, forgiveness is like that. So don't beat yourself up for not being able to forget. Or don't think that that's something you should be able to do. Or you should expect for someone else to be able to do. No, it isn't about forgetting. It's about healing. What forgiveness does over time is that it turns baggage, which we like to remember. In fact, we like to use it as ammunition against each other. It turns baggage into strength. Strength that isn't stored up to slam someone with, but strength that lets us live differently. In fact, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, something that allows us to transform relationships. Another myth about forgiveness is that forgiveness means trust is reestablished. All right? You did something to me, and so I forgive you. Now I'm supposed to trust you just like before, or vice versa. By the way, sometimes when we talk about forgiveness, we split it up and we talk about forgiveness giving, and sometimes we talk about forgiveness getting. Today I'm kind of lumping it in together because it's really the same dynamics. It doesn't matter which side you're on. In fact, we're probably almost all on both sides all the time, but that's another sermon. That doesn't mean that trust is reestablished. All right? I can forgive you the fact that you stole $500 from me, but that doesn't mean I'm just going to trust you by leaving money laying around. Or, you know, think about any more emotional sort of things where you're really hurt by another person. No, trust and forgiveness are different things. Forgiveness is given freely. Forgiveness is given in the process and the hope of hope, in the hope of healing. Trust is earned. Trust really is earned. We talk about being trustworthy. You can spend years and years building up trust and lose it in a moment. And you can be forgiven for that. But you do have to earn that trust back. And that's an important thing to remember. Victims are often made by people thinking that when they forgive someone, they immediately need to trust them again. And that isn't what God expects us to do. It's not what God does. If you think forgiving is in place of justice, then you've got these mixed up. And it may sound kind of ungospel-like, but like I said, trust is earned, forgiveness is given. And those are important distinctions to make. Another myth about forgiveness is that forgiveness means, when I forgive you, that everything is now fixed. Everything is fixed. No, it usually isn't. In fact, that's a wrong use of forgiveness. If when we experience forgiveness, if I give it to you or you give it to me, if we say, well, now everything's okay, that probably means that everything was okay in order for us to grant forgiveness, doesn't it? It sounds like the forgiveness was conditional on everything being worked out already. No, forgiveness is given in order that healing could occur, not because it already has happened. So often there's a lot of tension between you and that person that you have this problem with or whatever it is. That's still there, but forgiveness is given in hope and to have some of the power and the freedom that we'll be talking about as we get into it. So those are three things that I think are commonly misunderstood by people.
Don't go down those roads with forgiveness. That isn't what they mean. So what is forgiveness? First of all, forgiveness is a process. Forgiveness is a process. Often a long one. It's a hard one. It takes us all kinds of places, but it is a process and not an event, not simply an act of saying, I'm sorry and that's okay. It's a lot more that has to go on there. There's this saying from Jesus. It's actually, you'll know this. It's in the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, you get down to that one line where it says, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Have you ever thought about that line? That's one in the Lord's Prayer. That's one of the lines that's always driven me crazy. So I want you to just take a minute, find a person, maybe two people next to you, and talk about what do you think that line means? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Go ahead, and if you got an extra seat between you, you might have to just move over and talk to someone else. So take a minute, see what you think that means. Sounds like you're winding down a little bit. Hopefully you came up with some ideas about it yourself. I don't know, what you think about it, but it sounds kind of conditional, right? So God's going to forgive us in the same way that we forgive other people, right? Which in my case isn't real good, so I'm kind of toast. Would anybody else have other ideas about it? All you shy people.
It's just the way the world works. If you're in a state of where you can forgive other people, you'll not only be more likely to seek out forgiveness, you'll be more likely to accept it if someone gives it to you, and people will see that you're actually genuine about it and be more likely to give you forgiveness. It's just the way the world works.
Okay. And that's the way God dishes it back to us then, too.
I wasn't going to speculate about that.
Yeah, but God told me I suck at this stuff, so. Yeah, what else?
We thought it'd be more helpful if it was in pardon, and it was, help us forgive others if you forgive us.
I like that. Doesn't say that, but I like that. No. But I think you're right. I mean, I think you need to kind of work around this and sort of understand it. Any other? Oh, she said, if you invert it, so rather than forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, but help us to forgive others the way you forgive us. So that we're forgiving the way you forgive us. Was that right, how you said it? Yeah. In fact, the Bible actually does say that in another place, and we're going to get to that. So that would help us understand it that way. That's good.
Okay, good. We talked about trespass is another way to say that, and that it's not always a sin, but that it's sometimes just a violation or something that they do to you that's not...
Right. So not just a sin, but the trespass, the violation. In fact, that's kind of a good thing, is that we often try to unpack that word sin here, because it gets thrown around and we think of sin as like doing something wrong. And sin is brokenness. Sin is when we break that relationship with each other, with the world, with God. And so that's what that forgiveness should be about. And I think that kind of helps too. Well, okay, let me throw another way out here of thinking about this. As I was working with it, there's kind of an old midrashic, a Jewish midrash tradition of kind of playing with some of these things. So I don't know if this is actually the way it should be, but so let's emphasize, if you want to go to the next slide, the word as. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those. So that's kind of like, forgive us our sins like you forgive us. Or no, yeah, as we forgive each other. Forgive us like we forgive other people. What if you take that word as and substitute the word while? It says, forgive as, forgives while we forgive others. Now, I'm not saying that that's the way it's supposed to be interpreted, but I think it does some interesting things to it. God, we're trying to get along here. We're trying to forgive each other. We're trying to be a little more tolerant and accepting. We're trying to be better at our relationships. While we do that, would you please keep forgiving us? Forgive us while we forgive each other. Because our feeble attempts at doing this aren't very good, and we need your forgiveness. I'm trying hard, and I'm trying to be the person I'm called to be. I'm trying to love people. I'm trying to forgive people the way I am, but I just don't do it real well. Remember you told me I suck at relationships? And would you please continue to forgive me while I'm trying to do it? I don't know. Like I said, I'm not
sure that's the way it should be translated. I kind of like it. It kind of opens some things up for me and helping me understand a little bit about it. But the point about it, I think, is that forgiveness is a process. Now, you maybe remember this story from Jesus' life again. Peter comes up to Jesus and says, it's on your outlines here, Master, how many times do I forgive a brother or sister who hurts me? Do I do it as many as seven times? Now, seven is kind of a big number for the Jews. That was, you know, they do all this numerology stuff. Seven represents like a lot of times, not just literally seven, but a lot of times. And Jesus says back to him, are you kidding? Seven times? That's nothing. How about seven times 70? What does that mean? That doesn't mean literally 490. That means like it doesn't stop. And so, you know, what that says two things is that the obvious idea that we have to forgive each other a lot. There can't be a limit to it. But I also think it's just, Jesus is saying, it just keeps going. It's a process. It doesn't end. It isn't like you just forgive them this time and that's over, and then you forgive another time and that's over. No, we live in forgiveness. It is how we operate. It's the world that we are in. In fact, there's a fill in there. Forgiveness is the mode of relationships. Forgiveness is not an exception. Forgiveness is not something you're going to have to do once in a while. Forgiveness is the mode of your relationships. To love a real person for who they are and to be loved as a person that you are, there has to be forgiveness as an everyday present part of it. Which gets us to this next thing that forgiveness is. Forgiveness is powerful. Forgiveness is unbelievably powerful. I believe it is one of the great powers of our universe, just like it is one of the great structures of our universe. And I explain it this way. Forgiveness is like the weld in an I-beam. If you take these girders that are making this building strong, the iron beams, and if you, they're under stress constantly, and the things that make up our life, our relationships are under stress constantly, all the time, and they get twisted, and they bend, and they break. And when that happens, they get welded. That's forgiveness. And you know what happens if you have an iron beam and it gets bent or gets broken and then you cut it and you re-weld it together? That is now the strongest part of that beam. You can put stress on it again, you can bend it, but it's not going to bend and break on that spot. It's going to do it in other places around it. Doctors, medical people say it's the same thing with your bones in your body. When you break them, they're stronger in that place. That's not the spot it's going to break again. You wonder why God made our relationships to have this mode of forgiveness, except perhaps God said, this is the way that you're going to start seeing, you're going to start comprehending the incomprehensible abilities of potential of relationships, and not just start seeing it in your 2D way, but in my 3D way with all its height and length and depth and whatever the fourth one was. And you're going to start experiencing the fullness of it is by running into problems with it. And letting me get involved and letting forgiveness happen and making it stronger. Because when you forgive, you realize what was going on in the relationship. You realize what works and what doesn't work. You realize what it means to accept a person who isn't just like you. It means to understand who you are in relationship with other people. Your relationship gets deeper. Your relationship gets more 3D. Your relationship gets more real. It has a stronger place that can be turned to in the future when you have problems again. I think God doesn't have forgiveness as a safety valve in our relationships. God has forgiveness as a way to make our relationships strong. I tell you, Jesus says about this woman who comes to a party. He's with all these important Jewish people, and this woman of the streets, this not very reputable woman, comes and is pouring ointment on his feet and wiping his feet with her hair and crying on his tears. And they're all ashamed of this woman doing all this sort of stuff. And just saying, Jesus, how can you let this horrible woman be doing all this to you? And he says, I tell you that her sins, which are great, are forgiven. So she is showing great love. But the one who is forgiven only a little will love only a little. The more welds, the stronger the beam. The more forgiveness, the stronger the love. Maybe God put the world together that way on purpose. See, when there's injury happening in a relationship, there's a lot of energy created there. And different things can happen with that energy that comes out of our broken relationships. One, you can just get mad and seek revenge. That helps a lot, right? Yeah, you know, that solves all kinds of problems. And then someone seeks revenge over that again, and it just keeps going. That's not what God's got in mind. Or that energy can be just all pushed inside. I'm a good person. I don't get mad. You know, I'll just internalize all this all, and then we get dysfunctional, and it comes out all kinds of ways and creates all kind of havoc in our lives, and we're not even aware of it. And that's not what God wants us to do with it either. Or that energy can be taken to be about healing. It can become powerful. It can begin to transform situations. It can transform relationships. It can open up possibilities. It can't make them happen, but it can open up doors so that God could begin to act and God could begin to be present. See, forgiveness, whether it's giving or getting, starts within us, and then it begins to seep out and to change other people. And that's this last thing that forgiveness is. Forgiveness is freeing. It frees us up. It lets us be who we were supposed to be. Before the injury, despite the injury, whatever, it doesn't make us dependent on it. And one of the important things to know about forgiveness is that it doesn't depend on the other person. So a lot of people think, well, we can't have forgiveness because she won't admit that she did anything wrong, so I can't forgive. Or they won't accept my apology, or it's all over, I can't fix it anymore, so forgiveness can't happen. Yes, it can. Forgiveness essentially is something that happens within us. It's something that begins to transform us. It frees us from, not from the consequences of what we did, but from the power that it has over us. And allows us to begin to heal. And as we begin to heal, it seeps out of us into the world and through the relationships around us and can do some amazing things to the people who are around us. Because basically, fundamentally, and the reason that this is true is that forgiveness isn't rooted in us. Forgiveness is rooted in something that God decided God would build into this world and that God would make real through Jesus. I love this line. This sounds like one of the responses that came when we talked here a little bit, but in Ephesians chapter 4, this is right around this, that verse that we have for our for the series. This comes around in that same area of that letter that Paul wrote, and he writes this. He says, "Forgive each other just as God forgave you in Christ." Forgive each other just as God forgave you in Christ. How did God forgive us in Christ? Through Jesus. Well, first of all, he did it without us asking. We didn't ask for this. We didn't ask for Jesus to have to give up his life. We didn't even ask God to come to our world and to live with us in the person of Jesus. He also did it independently of our fault or responsibility. In fact, when he's on the cross, what does Jesus have to say except, you know, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing? You know, they are guilty. They are responsible. We are responsible. God says, that's okay. I'm going to forgive you anyway. It's also not as a replacement of justice. We still live with the consequences of our decisions. They hurt us, and we have to live with that. But forgiveness is given. You see, forgiveness is given not to require justice of us. I've given you forgiveness. Now you've got to do this right. You've got to fix it. You've got to be better. But in order to restore justice. When we are forgiven, when we are healed, when this freedom starts happening in our lives, we are now able to live in the world the way we really meant it should be in the first place. And lastly, I think the way, you know, God forgave us in Jesus was not as an event, but as a process. You can say, well, yeah, it was an event. It was the life of Jesus, or it was Jesus' death on the cross in which he forgave us. But no, we think about it, what did Jesus say? His last words are, I will be with you always. Jesus says, what I started by forgiving you, by giving my life for you because I love you that much, I'm going to be here for the long haul to actually make sure it happens. I'm going to give my spirit. It's going to be in each and every one of you so you know who I am and you'll respond to my love and you're going to show it to other people. And this forgiveness is going to take every person that ever lives in this world a lifetime, and I'm going to be a part of that to make that healing happen, and to make that forgiveness happen. It isn't cheap stuff. It's not easy stuff. So basically, I don't know. A lot of stuff to think about this week, I guess. A lot of ways to think about your own relationships. And not forgiveness that you have to do once in a while, but the fact that we all depend on forgiveness just going on constantly in our lives around us. So let it be personal for you this week. Jesus' message for us here today is to give and to get forgiveness so you can be whole and so that you can experience the world the way God is trying to show it to you. God wants us to live in this kind of big world that God imagines for us, not in our superficial little thing. So here's what I'd like you to do. Let me let this be our closing right now. And this verse that we've been reading from Ephesians chapter 3 for these weeks, I want you to hear it. And this is kind of a neat thing to do with the verses from the Bible anyway. But I want you to hear it not as something that was written to the Ephesians 2,000 years ago, but something that God wants to say to you personally, because this is personal today. You can find it. It's on the bottom of your outline. It's going to be up on the screens there too. I put my name in. You can put your name in. So just close your eyes and make yourself comfortable. And if you really want to be daring, put your hands on your lap, just your palms up, because this is something you're receiving from God. Okay? And so just think your own name, and then let me speak God's word to you. Say your name. I want you to be able to comprehend my incomprehensible love in all its breadth and its length, its height and its depth, so that you can be filled with all of my fullness. God, thank you for speaking that to each person here today. Help us to get little glimpses of it and to reflect it out into the world so that others might get an idea of just how much you love us, how you're willing to work with us, and how much bigger the world is when we start seeing it from the way you're trying to show it to us. Help us to be so infected with that, that the world and our relationships are never quite the same, but still dependent on forgiveness happening every day of our lives. Amen.